toward the end of Ezekiel, you know, and in Ezekiel, he begins to talk about, I'm going to do this and you're going to know I'm God. We're going to know I'm God. I'm going to let them charge at you, and then I'm going to do to them like I did to Pharaoh and his army. And they're going to know that I'm God. Do you know that's another thing? As Fred said, we got an opportunity now to do something amazing, and that's praise the Lord. In everything, praise the Lord. In everything, give thanks. We got that opportunity to glorify God right now. We've got that opportunity. We have that opportunity. Not just right now, but all the time. The fruit of our lips giving thanks. We have these opportunities. And we have the opportunity because we have seen, because we have read, because we have heard, because we know that God is true. And so every word is true, even if we can't quite imagine it. And some of the stuff we wouldn't want to imagine, maybe. But yet at the same time, we can believe. And if we can believe, all things are possible with God. I want to take the liberty that God has given me to praise Him in this lifetime and then in the eternal life. Yeah, I think it's, I don't know. But one thing I don't want to do is go into heaven and find myself disappointed that I didn't praise Him and thank Him and trust Him more in my life. You know, there's no more tears or sorrow in heaven, but there might be just a moment to say, what was I thinking? You know? And the thing that we can say to ourselves, you know, so what am I thinking? What do I think when somebody says, we have the opportunity right now to do something that we'll never get to do in heaven. We got an opportunity right now in our life to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 We have the opportunity to raise the dead. That dead is us sometimes. Different things in our lives, you know. But also, you know, we just imagine that. You have the power of God to raise the dead. That exciting or scary? You know?
I want that.
Yeah, amen. Amen. Yeah, I read those stories about the old evangelist and grab somebody out of a coffin and slam them up against the wall and say live, and I think, oh, that's awesome, but I don't want to do it. Somebody has stomach cancer, just punch them in the gut and watch that cancer leave. I don't want to do it. Yeah, see, that's a thing. But I want to say to the Lord, I'll do whatever you say, Lord. And please don't hold it against me if I, on some things, go, seriously? You know. But the anticipation of the goodness of God, and I don't know. You know, James chapter 3 is a wonderful chapter, but it isn't necessarily what we like to contemplate all the time. Because, dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for he who teach will be judged more strictly. Everybody can handle that, except those that are teachers in the church. That's a little caution there. But then he goes right into, indeed, we make many mistakes. Okay, we're good with that. Yep, everybody makes mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes is a good way to kind of overcome our mistakes and to, yeah, well, you know. But then he meddles, for if we could control our tongue, we would be perfect. And we could also control ourselves in every way. If we could control our tongue. Just a week ago, 2 weeks ago, whenever it was, Vicki, when you were talking about, you know, that a person had said that, you know, that a lot of talk about believing, but we should be saying. You know, and that's part of controlling our tongue, too, what we say. How we say it. What we say when we say it. Do we brush off those things where we know God says we're supposed to control our tongue? We say, well, everybody makes mistakes. What are we going to do with that? Set a guard over my mouth, David said, so that I might not sin against you. I think it is a big deal, since it is in the Bible, that we would get that control that God will give us over it. You know, if we desire, Bible says, if anyone will desire to live godly. If we will desire, is it my desire? You know, there's a lot of stuff that we can read in the Bible, and we can read it and try to move on quickly before it's a problem. You know, we got to be honest with that. There's some stuff that we just okay, or we read it and we think, I got that. But while we're saying, oh, I got that, there's something tugging on our ear, like, if I got that so good, why is it that I feel like I need to go back to it? Why don't we just plan on being perfect in every way? And willing to be perfected, because perfecting then takes a little something. You know, anything that you're going to do, anything that you're going to develop, it's going to take some effort. Paul talked often about the athletics. You know, I mean, when I was a little kid, I just wanted to play athletics, and we just played athletics, and that's all we did. And once in a while, we'd maybe watch a football practice, or we'd watch the big guys doing stuff, and we would imitate them a little bit, you know. Pretty soon, we're trying to do a burpee or do our push-ups, or we're going to, you know, talk to my folks. I guess I didn't talk my folks into it. I bought it myself, my Sears and Roebuck 110-pound barbell set. And my barbell set sat in our dining room as I grew up for years and years and years. It sat there so that I could use that barbell set. My wife won't even let me have my Bowflex downstairs, but my mother let me have my barbell set right there in the dining room. Sometimes I think about that, and I think she was really good to me. But my wife is really good to me, too. A barbell set didn't seem out of place in the dining room at our house, apparently. But, you know, you worked on things. And then when you actually got into the organized things, you no longer worked on things just the way you wanted to. You worked on them the way the coach wanted you to. And he never got tired. Blowing that whistle never wore him out. But that whistle just about killed me on numerous occasions. Because when he blew that whistle, you were either going, you were going down, you were getting up, you were keeping up, you know. Every time he blew that whistle, it required some sort of a response. And a failure to respond would cause more response. Okay, you don't have to run 20-yard sprints. You just run around the track until I feel tired enough to let you stop. And he never got tired. It was amazing. Those coaches just didn't get tired. And so we learned, I learned because I desired to play. And the only way I was going to play is if I pleased the one who was in charge. I didn't get to play because I could stand on the sideline and say, I'm better than that one. I should be playing already. But I did that. Because I wanted to play. But all of my wrong talking wasn't going to get me in there. My acting according to what the coach said. There's a lot in our life that shows us the Lord's way. And so, if everybody could control their tongue, we could control ourselves in every other way. So, if that's the case, do I want to control myself in every other way? See, we have to be determined to finish this race. And there isn't any retirement in this race. There isn't any, well, I'll take a break. Even though we do take breaks, we need to be easily and quickly stimulated. Always ready at all times. And if we could control our tongue, we could be perfect in every way. We could control our body in every way. If we could. And so, if we look at this, I want this. And I did. I have to tell you that the Lord directed me to James chapter 3, and so obviously if the Lord directs me to something, then that's what gets stuck in my head. And so as it was stuck into my head for several days, and I'm thinking about it, and I did, I said to the Lord, okay, Lord, I want to make sure that you want this passed on, and that it's not just me and you that you're dealing with here. And he said, everything that I give you is for everyone. But I have this responsibility, since the first thing starts out saying, many of you should become teachers, I have a responsibility to make sure that I seek the Lord so that we go into this and we're just going to touch on it. Because it's a lifelong thing, but it's good for us to bring to remembrance those things, because probably there's more truth in the few verses that are in this chapter about one thing that we all need to deal with than in most any other part of the Bible. Because he said, if we could get this down pat, then we could be perfect in every way. We could control every part of us just by becoming fully persuaded about this. And it doesn't matter if we would prefer not to talk about how we talk, because we can do that when we read the Bible. We can just, pass on that. We can brush off those things that immediately come to our minds, But rather than that, we could just follow what the Lord says. He says, here's the key. Here's the key to the kingdom. This is something that'll work in every part of your life. It will work for every part of your life. That's what James said by the Holy Spirit. This is a key. Man, this is a key you don't want to lose. This is a key you want to keep handy. This is a key you want to establish in your heart. I want to make this work. I want to make this work. If we want something to work, we will work it. I went to put the blade on my four-wheeler so that I can clean snow because I don't really want to have to use a shovel. And the last time that I used my four-wheeler before I put it in the garage because it was too cold to drive it around, I had ran the winch out, ran the winch in, everything dandy. I went to put on the blade and my winch wouldn't work. Might be I need to find where the ground is for that, and it's just that simple. That's what I hope. But it was cold last week, and trying to find something out there and get that done. And so then I was going to take it to somebody else to have them test that. In order to get the blade up, I had to go find my chain. Thank you, Jesus. I found my little chain that I used to hold it up, and I pulled that baby up, and I got it locked up so that I could go ahead and drive it. But the guy that I wanted to look at, it wasn't available. And I still want that winch fixed. I'm not prepared to just say, well, that's okay. I'll just shovel. You know? Too old. Did you say that? Did you? Here we are. Guard your tongue, brother. Look at that. Right there from the front row. Yeah, but if there's a little something to that. I find that I shovel a lot. And I can still shovel a lot, but I want to be smart enough to quit before Vicky sees me laying out on the sidewalk. But anyway, you know, what we want to work, we will work. It goes in everything. And so let's just enjoy the instruction of the Lord. He goes on to talk about we make a large horse go where we want it to, just by sticking a little old bit in their mouth. Some horses, that little old bit don't do a bit of good, and they take off on you. Devil-possessed horses. The other ones will do that. Who can stand that bit in the mouth? Well, sometimes we're a little bit like a wild horse because we'll bite the bit. We'll bite the bit. We will say, and we will know when we've said that we shouldn't have said, and we'll bite the bit. And we will go through a whole bunch of thoughts about, well, they got it coming. And that really wasn't so bad. Well, we're waiting a bit. We're talking through clenched teeth, you know. My wife will tell you that we have, and I'll just go, I have many conversations where I stay stuff. She says, what, honey? I say, never mind, it's not worth repeating. Well, you said it. Well, I say that back to her sometimes too. Say what? Maybe just sorry would be best. Because sometimes we're sorry that we thought things. Sometimes we rejoice that we thought them without actually saying them. And then sometimes we just say them, and we decide it's okay, even though for some reason we're having to rationalize that it is okay. And if we're having to do that, then we're working against the Spirit. And so we can just take every one of those as a learning process and learn from it. And put it down as something that I'm not going to do again. And when I do it again, I'm going to be quicker to correct it. Until I'm so tired of correcting it that I don't have to anymore. It may be only in heaven that we'll hear that great amen. But, you know, if we desire, that's how we apply. Isn't that true? As we desire, as I desired my wife, I courted my wife. My Bible tells me that I should keep that desire stirred up. Not throw cold water on it. Not break it up. And how do we best do that? We best improve it with our tongue. And we help by holding our tongue. The tongue is unruly. Nobody can read this without agreeing. Yeah. It's such a little thing, but it gets away from us. And it gets away from us mostly because we don't keep it on a leash. Because sometimes we just say what we feel like saying. And just because we feel like it doesn't mean God likes it. And so he's given us a key. A small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever it wants, the pilot wants to go. You know, it's amazing. You look at big ships. Huge behemoths of steel. And they got a little rudder in comparison. And then you see speedboats sometimes, and it looks to me like, and I don't know anything about them, but it looks like they got more than one rudder under there. And that those extra ones must be to keep it from skidding. We should have something to keep us from skidding. We have the word of the Lord. Do we have the desire in our hearts, in every heart of every person? God put a little spot, a little place for the chip of God. And so within everybody, even if they don't know that that's what they've got a desire to please God. If they didn't have that desire in their heart to please God, then they wouldn't be so offended by the thought of God. The Lord reminds me of the guy that I was talking to years and years and years ago about giving his life to Jesus. And he was sitting there with a vodka in a brown bag saying, "I'm not going to serve anybody." And I said, "You're serving a brown bag with vodka in it." Who do you think you are? I care. I don't know who I are. Do you think this is what I want to do, is sit here and, you know? Sometimes even when we're doing what's right, frustration can cause us to do it wrongly. The tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. And it can just tear things apart, or it can build things up. And God wants us to be repairers and builders, and he wants us to use that because the tongue is a powerful tool. It's powerfully useful. And if we can get it cornered into the useful part, we can accomplish great things with it. We can say to the mountain, "Be removed and be cast into the sea." If we get control of it, and if we use it to say what we believe we're saying, not just repeat what we've heard others say. It's something that the Lord has given us, and he's given us what we need to control it, and he's given it for a purpose. He doesn't put this in the Bible, so we'll just shut up. Because he also tells us to say, but he's just ready to help us if we're ready to receive it. He's ready to help us tame it. And we may as well all be honest and say sometimes we aren't really interested in taming it. Because we got something to say, and you're going to hear it. That's all of our favorite, isn't it? We all love to be on the receiving end of that. I've got something to say, and you're going to hear it. Ruh-roh, that doesn't sound good. You know? Sometimes we've got something to say that nobody needs to hear. Nobody needs to hear. God needs to see us, make sure that nobody hears it. Unfortunately, he will not take control of it for us. But he will give us input. It is. I want to encourage you to rejoice. Take opportunity to praise the Lord when you catch yourself thinking and don't say it. There should be some, we should make some noise when we do that. Praise the Lord! Let that be my, you know, they talk about gamblers having a tell. Let that be my tell. When I'm praising the Lord, it means I caught myself. I want to do better. I want to get this because I think, I would like to say that I already had it down pat and God thought that I should be a teacher of it. But I'm not foolish enough to believe that. And I'm a little hesitant because if God's talking to me about this and wants me to talk about it, that I perhaps have been way less than successful at it. You know, when the world's a mess, it's easy to get your tongue involved in the fixing of it. When it's quite possible that there's no fixing that you can do and you're not going to do a thing just by tearing apart parts of it. And God loved me when I was awful. Yeah, and so the rest of the story then we know is somehow, you know, Jesus died for all of those possessed people. He died for me when I was. So, you know, I mean, if I can just get things in context and I can just get those always lined up so that I always refer that way, I'll save myself a lot of excuses and rationalizations. And it's not just so that I don't do what's wrong, it's so that I get what's right. It's so that I'm in a position to receive all the promises. It's so that I'm in a better spot. A tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. If there's anyone that has not done that, and I'm not talking about a physical forest, I don't know anybody who has not done that. And sadly, not only do we sometimes do that, but we can also be very guilty because the tongue can also carry a gas can and just blow the flames up. Can take something that's just smoldering and about to go out, and then it poof. In my all-time favorite movie, Fiddler on the Roof, there's always this thing. There was a guy that cheated a guy on a horse deal. And they're all standing around, and they're talking. And he goes in, and he says, "Watch this." And he just says, "It was 30 years old." Because a guy had told him the horse was younger. And he just reminded him of what had happened. And guess what? Pooh! The fire went up. There was no talk. There wasn't any concern about the horse. But he had to sneak in there and remind him. and stir up trouble. Let's be careful that we're not stirring up trouble. When we get to saying something and then we feel like we didn't get our part said, and so we'll wait a while till it dies down, and then we throw it out there again. Why? 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 And we often find ourselves saying, why? What was I thinking? Why? Why? Because I didn't have control of my tongue. Because I wanted to justify my position. What's so important about my position? You ever think about that? What is so important about your position on the thing? We got a TV, and when we went to put on the TV, there's a bracket that's supposed to be on the back, and the old screws wouldn't fit the new TV. And so that was the last information I had. And so Vicki said, I've got the screws. I said, you don't have the screws? Because she's the one that gave me those screws that were supposed to go, and it wouldn't fit, and so that's why we knew they wouldn't. No, I got the screws. No, you don't have the screws. I do have the screws. You don't either have the screws. Yes, I do. I ordered them. Well, withholding information, foul. Foul. How many times did I say, you don't have the screws, because I knew she didn't have the screws. And she knew she had the screws. I know you. You didn't try to finish the sentence. You were enjoying it too much because the shoe was going to fall. And she said, oh, I ordered them. Oh, I shopped around and I ordered them. I should probably take them and make sure they fit. But still, you know, the tongue could cause a terrible explosion. But as you can see, we're still together. We sometimes need a fire truck, you know, to just keep putting out the flames, you know. I'm tired of that. When God has given me everything that I need to fix that. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, fish, but no one can tame the tongue. Well, then I guess we don't have to try because nobody can. Okay, end the message. Aren't you glad we got to that verse? Just let her rip, folks. Just let her rip. Just go ahead. Give it your best shot. Oh, maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe not, because that tongue's a flame of fire, and it's a whole world of wickedness corrupting your entire body, and it can set your whole life on fire, for it's set on fire by hell itself. But nobody can tame the tongue. Why did he throw that in there? How many people just go ahead and use that as their excuse? Even God said, we can't tame the tongue. It's restless and evil and full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises the Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. Sometimes it praises. And sometimes when we get all done praising, then we go and erase all of our praises. And so, blessing and cursing pouring out of the same mouth, surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out both fresh water and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives or a grapevine produce figs? No. And you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. So we are without excuse. You know? And we should get tired of making excuses. Because if we can neglect something well enough, then we don't even need to make excuses. We're only human. Full of the Spirit of God. See, we come to things where we have to decide what we desire most. And we desire God most. In the depth of our heart, I had a little text from one of my guys in jail that has just, boom, sprouted and strong in the Lord. And he had been battling a custody thing, and he had finally gotten custody of his son. He was all excited about that, and it was great. And last night he said, I could use a little boost. He said, I just found out that the son I got custody of isn't really my son. He said, I'm a little bummed out about it, but it's okay. I can go on and grow in the Lord. Out of the mouth of babes. His desire, you see, he's young. We've all had times in our life, maybe when we desired more fervently. And when we are desiring fervently, we can't really skip anything. But when our fervor dies down a little bit, then it's a little bit easier to read past things. I mean, it's not like I didn't know what James chapter 3 was about. I read it too many times. It's not like that there was not a little hinge toward, oh, there must be something different. But I think that it's for good that God puts us into these things like this, because we are entering into a time in our society and in our world when this world needs us to say the truth. And this world needs to see us live the truth, and if they see us not controlling our tongue, we become their excuse. We become their excuse for, well, if they can talk that way, if they can think that way. Someone asked me yesterday how my wife was. It's amazing how good news spreads. Somewhere or another, everybody knew that she had COVID. But you're safe. She's okay. No. And then because she had COVID, she thought I should stay home. Then she wanted me to take a test. I don't want to take a test. I don't believe the test anyway. I don't believe anything about that. I just don't. But I did stay home. Consequently, I heard I was sick too. But I really wasn't. I was in pretty good shape. Of course, if I coughed, that must mean that I had it too. And then people, so did you get it? I don't believe so. Just by association, you know, but I thought, I'd rather not answer that because I don't want to take a chance on lying. I want to control what I say. In all things, even in those things. It's like, here's an opportunity, Roger. Oh, thank you, Lord. Let's just say, where does true wisdom come from? It comes from God. If you're wise and you understand God's ways, prove it. Prove it. Because isn't that what people look at you for, is proof? Isn't that right? And do people get impressed by the good things, or are they watching for the bad things? Because you're not perfect. Nobody is. God already said that. Prove it by living an honorable life, doing good. Good works with humility that comes from wisdom. But if you're bitterly jealous and there's selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. And how do most of those things manifest the best? With our tongue. But if it is our desire, if it is our true desire, and if we understand God's ways, we get an opportunity to prove it, and prove it, and prove it, and prove it. So the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It's also peace-loving. It's gentle at all times. And it's always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. This is what God offers us by his instruction about the tongue. The rewards of righteousness. And it's really probably the easiest, even though it's the most difficult, price to pay. To just control what we say. And so, Lord, that is our plea today, that you help us. To control what we say. Because when you say that nobody can control it, you're implying in Christ you can. And that makes a difference, and that's what makes you different. And because you are different, then you will shine a light that can transform other lives. This is our desire. We want to honor you. So thank you, Lord. That this is a way to honor you. This is a way to prove it. This is a way to elevate us to a better spot. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Father. Amen. Amen.